This presentation is brought to you by iAwaken.org, a not-for-profit organization. We hope you enjoy the presentation. Please observe the copyright terms to which you have agreed.
Kuzuri, Eimesh HaNezek Mefurash Batoiro.
So you remember that the Kuzri said, in general, you've answered me, but there are certain specific cases which still worry me a great deal. And the Chovir said, well, go ahead and ask. So he asked about Nezikin. Nezikin, it states clearly, eye for an eye and so on, and what one man does, you shall do to him. How can it, all this Bola Kama business of Mominus, where does it all come from? Omar Echovir. Does it not say afterwards that if you kill an animal, you shall pay for it? How do you pay? Nefesh tachas nefesh, life for life. Haloi zeh ha-kofer. That means payment for kofer. It doesn't say in the Torah that if somebody damages or kills your horse, you should kill his horse. It says you shall take his horse. In other words, you shall be compensated. Because the damaged one gets no benefit out of the killing of the other man's horse. And what's the purpose of Nezikin? Is compensation. The Pashtus he seems to be taking on, not Oynish, not Knas. Do you see that? So now those are involved in it in Bola Kama. That there has to be a Toelis. The damage, the Nizak, has to receive benefit from the payment, because that's compensation. What kind of compensation would it be to hit the horse as well? So if somebody cut off your hand, you don't say, well, cut off his hand in return. There's no benefit, there's no compensation to you by cutting off his hand. What does it help you to cut off his hand? Certainly if one went along with this argument, eye for an eye and so on, it would be completely irrational. To give a wound for a wound, A hits B, so B must hit A back again, or Beis Din must hit A back again. It just doesn't make any sense. How could we imagine such irrationality? What would happen if a particular strike measured in pounds per square inch or whatever kills one man? So now you've got to give the other one the same pounds per square inch punch, but it doesn't kill him. So is that fair? He died, he didn't die. If it's going to be eye for an eye, that's not eye for an eye, it's not balanced. How can one estimate such precision? What would happen if a one-eyed man blinds the one eye of a two-eyed man? So now they both got one eye. Now what do you have to do to the first one? You've got to take one of his eyes out. But now he lands up being totally blind. That's not equal to the damage he caused. He didn't make the other fellow totally blind, so it's not fair. So there's no way that you can reach parity by ayin tachas ayin, although it sounds very nice, eye for an eye, ear for an ear, but it doesn't work. It's not possible unless the two people are identical. No two people are identical. Once two people are not identical, there's no way that you can take an eye for an eye from two different people and could let it have the same effect on both of them. One will remain blind and one will have vision in one eye. And the Torah says you must give him just what he gave the other one. How can you give him just what he gave the other one if he's a different person? Why should I carry on discussing such obvious things? I've given you the principles already that you need to know. Together with the acceptance of the Kabbalah, of the tradition which is handed down, and the greatness and wisdom and effort that goes into the precision of that Kabbalah. So what we have to be governed by is the Mesoris, is the tradition which is handed down with the Torah Shebichtav once again, as he has been teaching all the time, and not the words of the Torah, because if you take the words of the Torah literally, they can become totally irrational.
Omar HaKuzuri, Im kol zeh tzoivu be'ena eladas, lama tzoivu Hashem Hashmira min ha-tumus.
Good, he says, okay, let's go into something else. The Kuzuri. What's Tumah and Tahara all about? What does it mean?
Omar Echove.
And the Yechove goes on to a very simple explanation of Tumah and Tahara.
Hatumo vahakedusho, shnei inyonim zeh keneged zeh. Tumo and Kedusho are two concepts opposite one another.
Lo yimotze ha'echod, elo b'himotze ha'sheni.
One can exist only with the existence of the other. Only where there is Kedusho is there a potential for Tumo. Only where there is Tumo is there a potential for Kedusho.
Where there's nothing, where there's neutrality, you've got nothing. That's why a goy doesn't become Tomei. He doesn't have the potential for Kedusha and he doesn't have the potential for Tumah. It's different. It's a different kind of being. It doesn't become Tumah.
Umakum she'en Kedusha, en Tumah.
Where there is no Kedusha, there is no Tumah.
Ki inyan ha-Tumah, for what is Tumah?
Listen to this beautiful, simple, halachic definition of Tumah. The removal of all mysticism from the concept of Tumah.
Einenu ki im dovah.
What is Tumah? It is something
she'osar al ba'alov lingoa b'dovah medivrei ha-kedusha
mimah shehu mekudash le'elokim.
Tumah is that which is forbidden to come into contact with something that is kedusha.
That's all.
Anything which may not touch that which is kodesh le'elokim, which is set aside for the ribbono shel olam, that is called tumah.
K'mo ha'kohanim, kohanim have kedusha, they have kodesh le'elokim.
Umacholom, their food, umalbushom, their clothes, vahatrumus, vahakorbonos, sacrifices, uveisamikdash, zulazeharbe.
Those are things which are mekudoshim leilukim, which are dedicated to the Ribbono shel Olam,
and therefore there are certain things which they may not come into contact with. Those things are called tameim. That's all it is.
V'chein inyan hakedusho,
and likewise kedusho.
Dova she'osur ha'ba'alav lingoa b'dvorim rabim yudu'im mefusomim.
What is Kedusha? Is something which is not permitted to come into contact with something Tomei.
So he's giving a very mathematical description, a very mathematical definition.
Tumo is anything which may not come into contact with Kedusha. Kedusha is something which may not come into contact with Tumo.
V'rav me'em she'hem t'luyim b'maymud ha'shchino. Most of them are dependent on the existence of the Shechino. In other words, they apply only bizman beis hamikdash. That's a second condition to the working of, to the relationship between Tuma and Tara.
Uchvar chisalnu esom, we don't have it anymore.
Mashi etzleinu ayoy mi'isu shchivas hanido.
So today do we have Tuma and Kedusha? No. Today it doesn't apply.
Because one of the conditions for the existence of that relationship of Kedusha and Tumah, that is the existence of the Beis HaMikdash, isn't there. And therefore the concept of Tumah and Kedusha doesn't apply.
Aye, we've got such a din as Me'isu Shechivas HaNido, for example,
that one isn't permitted to have relations with a woman when she's in a state of Nido, which we know is a state of Tumah, Vahayuledes, or a woman who's just had a baby.
Eino mipnei ha-Tumah, it has nothing to do with Tumah, says the Kuzuri.
Avali mitzvah greide me'is ha-boyer. That's a different mitzvah, it's a different issue.
Isur bias nido, that's an isur in dine arayus, and it's got nothing to do with Tumah anymore.
It's not because you will become Tomei from contact with her, and that's why she needs to go to the mikveh. She goes to the mikveh not because of Tumah and Tahara. She goes to the mikveh because until she goes to the mikveh, she has the dine of a nido, and as a nido, one cannot have relations with her, and one cannot have relations with her not because she's Tomei, but because she's a nido. It's a halachic concept that has nothing to do with Tumah and Tahara.
It so happens that in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, in addition to having the halachas of a nido, she's also Tomei.
But that's got nothing to do with any, with anything today.
Doesn't the Prophet talk about tumah?
Don't remember.
V'chein ma she'etzleinu me'harchokos ha'achilo imo lehishomer mikurvoso.
And all the dinim of harchokos, that one mustn't touch a woman when she's in nido, and if one eats at the same table, there should be a certain harchokos, and so on.
En zekim menius v'siyogu shlo yizgalge lishkav imo.
This is only as a fence to prevent the relationship developing to a sexual relationship, but not because by touching her there's a transference of tumah. But the whole concepts of tumah don't apply because we're in chutz
l'oritz. We today, we go to the cemetery, and Shkotzim, we come into contact with Shkotzim, v'amitzuroyim, v'azovim, v'amesim, v'zulaze. We have contact with things that are tome, and it doesn't affect us. Because with the absence of the Beis HaMikdash, there's not enough kedusha for tumor to be a factor. And we're not allowed to eat nevelo, an animal which has died without shechita. Not because it's tome. It's true that it's tome, but that's not why we're not allowed to eat it. This is a din in Yeridea, that you're not its treif, that's why you're not allowed to eat it. The fact that it's also tome, that's an additional reason which applies at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, but not now. Now what about men going to the mikveh? That was a takona of Ezra. So why did Ezra make a takona for Baal Keri, for men to go to the mikveh? This is not a chiyuv of the Torah. It's just a chiyuv of a certain precious, of a certain cleanliness. That there's a certain consciousness of when a man is a Baal Keri, when he isn't. This also doesn't apply today anymore. But at the time, that was Ezra's intention, was to bring a certain amount of awareness and control into the whole thing, but not because of tumor. The imam makabli moisu alatmum l'inyan anakiyus. And if the Karaites would still practice it today, you see from this that what the purpose of the Kuzri's question was. The Karaites were not the Reform Yidden. The Karaites were the Frum ones. They used to practice things that we didn't. For example, Tumantara. And they made themselves look very Frum. And that's the part now which the Kuzri is questioning. The fact that if you look at them, they're very religious. They keep Tuma and Taro. They go to the mikveh every month in Kandoshtik. They're running to the mikveh. And we're not going to the mikveh at all. So who's the Frum people? Today, if they were Karaites, they would be they would rule the roost. Can you imagine how popular they would be? So he says, "Imei mekabli moisu alatvum linyan anakiyus." If the Karaites went to the mikveh and they said, "We're just doing this because of the nakiyus, because we want to be extra special, clean, and clean not in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense. That's why we go." En gnai bezeh, there's nothing wrong with going to the mikveh. The Hasidim do it, it's fine. Bibilti shi kablu ala Torah, as long as they don't make it part of the Torah. If they say, "We still practice the laws of Tumah and Taro," that they're not allowed to do. But if man wants to go to the mikveh, or whatever, go to the mikveh twice a day if he wants to, there's nothing wrong with that. Which is, you have here the whole approach to chumras, to frumkeit. There's nothing wrong with being frum. There's nothing wrong with being extra special frum. As long as you realize that it's something additional that you're doing for your own personal reasons and there's nothing to do with anybody else. The moment it becomes you try to standardize it and impose it as part of the Torah, then you're involved in a different religion. That's no longer Yiddish. And once they start using their own minds to decide what to keep and what not to keep, that shows in fact a foolishness in their approach, and they change the Torah and bring about minus, they bring about apikrusis, roitze loimar, chiluk hadeus, they bring about machlokes. Asher hu shoresh hafsodos ha'umo. And machlokes is the root of the destruction of the nation. Isn't that amazing? The destruction of the Jewish people is threatened. The Jewish people's existence is threatened not by anti-Semitism, threatened by machlokes. So the Board of Deputies shouldn't have, what do they call the anti-Semitism department? No, not here. Send it. You know what they've got? A section that concerns itself with it. Yeah, the Board of Deputies is the public, it's not the public relations department. They've got a whole department which concerns itself with anti-Semitism, which is very important. But they should also have a department which concerns itself with the machlokes, the anti-machlokes department. Because that's the shoresh hapsoda sa'umo. The yitziyoso. What's that? The yitziyoso mitoira achas umishpat echot. And this causes the Torah to move out from Torah achas and from mishpat echot. Kichol asher nekel bo anachnu al atzmenu mishtamesh b'shabosus v'beteinu be'iruv. For example, look at our kulis, says the Kuzari. Look at us who adopt kulis. For example, we will go out of our houses on Shabbos. And with an Erev, we even carry outside of our houses on Shabbos. The Karaites would never do such a thing. They were really frum. You mustn't let people know about this, because they'll start a new mosque in Johannesburg. People will stop getting out of their houses on Shabbos. We do that. And then if you follow the Karaites of Yisra, you'll see something you don't like. People leave their houses on Shabbos. That's less severe. It says the Chover, even if you don't like the fact that we go out of our houses on Shabbos, that's not as serious as the consequences of their views, which cause machlikis v'hakafronus ad shiyeh beveris echod asura anoshim v'esadeus, to the point where you must have in a home of 10 people 10 different views as to what may and may not be done. Once you start using your own mind to decide what you like and what you don't like and what shouldn't, then of course each person has his own taste and his own approach, and he's going to draw his own conclusions. And if the mitzvahs were not laid down with borderlines which cannot be transgressed, we would not be assured of not introducing into the halacha things which don't belong there, and extracting from halacha things which ought to be there, since we would adopt what we wanted to using our own minds. Of course there would be things, there's no way that we would get it accurate. The Yekel Be'enei HaKaroim, and I'll give examples. The Karaites, for example, are Mekil on Hanos Avedezora Mikesev Zav Victorius V'Yayin. They don't mind benefiting from idolatrous materials, silver, gold, and even Yayin Nesech they don't hold by, because that's all the Rabbonim. So the They make it with that they allow. V'alha emes hamovis mibaladei zetoy. But the truth is that these are things that you've got to be most nefesh for. This is proper avodah zorah, and one has to give one's life rather than to be ne'ne from something which is used for idolatry. So look how serious an avera it is, and they totally disregard it. V'yakshe be'enav shi'ane ma'achazir afilu b'refuah. On the other hand, they're very machmir. If it comes to chazir, they won't allow you to eat chazer even for refuah, even if it's the only medication that a person can take to heal himself, has an extract of pig in it. But the Karaites, they'll rather die. They won't touch it. They're very machmirim. Don't let the people outside know this. And really, eating chazer is one of the lighter averis. It's not terribly serious compared to others. It's nisu doraisa, sure. But it's nothing like some of the other averis. Talking Lashon Hora, Sheker, these are much more serious. Machlikas, it's much more serious than eating chazer. But chazer nobody would eat. The karoim are very machmir on chazer, and on avodah zorah they make it. Chayv be malchus, it's a chiyuv malchus. It's not a chiyuv misa. It's not a chiyuv kores. It's not something you have to give your life for. It's an isur malchus. It's a love, like any other love, which is as serious as an isur doraisa, but it's on the lowest category of isurim doraisa. And all the serious things that people take lightly. And a Karaite will allow a nozir to eat raisins and grapes, but they won't let him have med or apple cider. And the truth is the opposite. There is no isu doraisa in a nozir becoming drunk. It's not a nice thing to do. It's not a nice thing even for the person who's not a nozir to become drunk. Kol shchein a nozir. That's part of kedushim tiyu. But as far as the halachas of nozir are concerned, he can have a good kasa lager, he can have 10 kasa lagers, and he's not over the dinim of nozir. But the Karaites wouldn't allow him to do so. But if he has one grape, he is over. And according to the Karaites, he can eat the grape. So they're using the philosophy without the mathematical analysis of the halacha. They're saying the concept is he mustn't get drunk. Mustn't get drunk, then he can't eat any alcohol. Grapes, that doesn't cause one to get drunk. We don't work that way. Kia isu eno elu b'mashi yitzim agef in bilvad. We learn that the isur is anything which is an extract of the vine. And the isur is not drunkenness. That's not the isur. That's also for everybody. When a nozir takes on extra kedusha, he's not taking on the isur of drunkenness. Hashem knows the true meaning of each mitzvah. We can't go and try and understand the complete meaning of every halacha and then create our projections and our extractions on the basis of our understanding of the philosophy. And that doesn't mean that our chachomim were stupid. It's true that it says sheikhar in the chumash,
by a nozir, and sheikha means from shikur, means anything which causes one to be drunk. So the obvious interpretation would be to prohibit all forms of alcohol. But they have a Kabbalah, the Masoreth, the tradition to Moshe on Sinai was that that means only an alcohol extracted from grape origin. That's what's also, not any other one. Despite the word in the Chumash, you can't go by the simple wording of the Chumash. You've always got to read it in the context of the Masoreth. The mitzvahs gevulim udukdokim aleim b'chokhma, and these mitzvahs have all sorts of wonderful wise limitations. Bim lo yiru b'maisim noim v'azozid yirchok mehem b'bli shiyasu reisom. Certainly there are good deeds which a zoriz will distance himself from, even without it being a halacha. K'moi bosor koskos. There's bosor koskos is an interesting case. The halacha is that if an animal has a disease where there's a flaw in one of his essential organs, such that it would cause his death within a year, he's called a trefel. So if he has a hole in his lung or in his stomach, we consider him a trefel. That means we consider that he would not last a year, and he becomes a trefel. What bosel koskos is, if a vet comes to the shochet and he says, quickly, shech this animal quickly, because within 5 minutes it's going to be dead. Without a question, it's 5 minutes ago, so that shochet shechts it, opens it up and does a bediko, and finds nothing wrong with its organs. The lung is complete, the heart is complete, the intestines are complete. It might have had some infection that would have caused its death, but in terms of halacha, it's not a trefel. That's called bosel koskos, and it's perfectly kosher. Even though the vet said it was going to die within a year, no, within a few minutes. It doesn't matter. It wasn't going to die from the absence of a part of an essential organ. So the Karaites make a kalvachomer. If an animal which is going to die in a year is treif, certainly an animal which is going to die in a few hours' time is treif. But we don't, because that's not how the halach is constructed. Asher hu mutter, this is mutter, it's allowed to be eaten, because it is not certain that animal will die. It could suddenly be healed, because its organs are all there. And if the infection was suddenly healed, it could still survive. It's true. The doctors might say, we don't know how to cure this animal, and without it being cured, it's going to die in 5 minutes. But miraculously, it could be cured. One can say that it might become healed, and then it will be mutter. But a trefa which a vet examines, and a vet can take an animal and examine it, and say, this animal is in perfect health. The shochet shechts, and finds something on the lung which isn't in order, say it's treif, it's also. B'pnei sheyesh lo choli meimis mibli sofek, because it has a disease which will kill the animal. V'lo yitochin shetichye mimenu v'lo shetirape. It is not possible that it will live as a result of this, or that it will be healed. The nesro, and therefore it becomes also. V'masvoro v'ayishakmus, but if you apply rational reasoning to these two cases, yeshuve hadina ha'ilu behefech, then you will come out the other way around. You will say, on the contrary, if an animal which is going to die in 11 months is treif, kol shchein, an animal which will die in 5 minutes. But you need to know the basis of the halacha, and if you know the basis of the halacha, it doesn't work the way you would have thought. Therefore, don't follow your logic in toldos hamitzvahs means, what's a good word for toldos? We had in the beginning derivatives. Derivatives of the mitzvah, that's a nice word. The derivatives of the mitzvah. Don't use your philosophy there. Philosophy is a different subject altogether. You want to understand the meaning of a mitzvah, fine. But in the derivatives of a mitzvah, if you use philosophy as the basis for the derivation of new halachas, you're going to fall. Because your logic and your philosophy doesn't incorporate the entire understanding of the mitzvah. Pentipul bisfekus yaviochol minus. It will bring you to doubt. It will eventually bring you to apikursus. And two people will not agree in their interpretation of it, because every man has his own logic, has his own way of seeing it. What you've got to do is analyze the roots in the Kabbalah, in Masoreth, in tradition, and the Psukim, to be able to connect, to join the derivatives with their sources. you need to understand the principles in halacha as they appear both in the written law and in the Gemara. Then you can work out the derivatives. You can't work it out only on the basis of philosophy.